يا والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين بالقاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد Amma ba, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who has given us the opportunity to be able to understand him in a way that we can shape ourselves, our character, in the qualities of the creator. And truly it is an honor for a creation to be able to mimic or to acquire the qualities of the Creator. If you look at any of the things that mankind has made, they try to put something in there that is similar to the mind that has created it. The shape, the form, the things used, the utensils that it is going to be utilized for, there's some sort of similarity. But when you think about the Almighty, the creation has the opportunity to acquire the qualities of Him inside of their character, to mimic it, it truly is an honor. For those people who understand, the ones who don't understand, they're going to acquire the qualities of something else. Meaning you're going to have to write something on that soul, you have to write something on that piece of paper, whether you will write the qualities in the character of a person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is going to be the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're going to have to write something. If you were to take a look at the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and know the meaning of those 99 names, you'll see that to a certain degree, you might have the same qualities, but of course not to the extent. But you see that his name is Ghafoor or Ghaffar, the one who forgives. The one who forgives immensely. The one who always forgives. Now if you and I look, I'm sure in our life somebody has said to you, "I'm sorry." Right? After they've done something wrong to you, they've said that, "I'm sorry." And if you were to forgive them, you are mimicking the quality of your Creator. And the more that you become elevated in that, meaning the more times you forgive someone, the more you get closer to your Creator. Because you and I, we always kind of wonder, what is this qurbatan ila Allah? When we say that we want to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in a particular place. He's not in a particular place, there is no distance, there is no physical distance. So like between you and I, because you always try to sit as far away from the minbar, and understandably it is a place where people are always away from it. But there is a physical distance. So if I was to say to you, you recite a loud salawat and come a bit closer. Right? So when I asked you to come a bit closer by reciting salawat, now you are nearer to me. True? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a physical point or a reference where He is. And that we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so let's say He happens to be in place A, and we walk over or drive over closer to Him. So this meaning of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes a little bit odd in our mind. That what kind of closeness are we looking at? When He says that I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein, meaning is that close? Even closer than I am, closer to me. So someone who's that close to me, how can I have any distance that I need to have this encouragement to get close to Him? And then when you look at also this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attentive towards us all the time. Meaning if He was to take His attention away from us even for a millisecond, you and I don't exist. Right? I can give you an example for that. If you were to just, I'll tell you some names and you make a picture of that in your mind. Okay? With me? So let's say, every name that I'm going to say, every word I'm going to say, you're going to paint a picture in your mind. Alright? Book. You have your picture there? Book. You might be a little bit slow right now, but we will warm up, so I'm giving you a little bit more time. Book. Yeah? Apple. Tree. Pen. Paper. As I kept on telling you the words, you had the picture in there, but as soon as I said the second word, the picture went away. Because you were attentive towards the other picture to make. True or not? And as I went through the list, these things existed in your mind and disappeared. And another thing existed and disappeared. So that thing that existed was bound, was dependent on your attention. Even for a moment when you were not attentive towards that creation of yours, it didn't exist. So the ulama, the scholars, they try to make us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete attention towards you, so therefore you exist. Even for a millisecond, if He was to take His attention away from you, you do not exist anymore. Just like that picture in your mind did not exist as soon as your focus went somewhere else. So someone who's that attentive to you, someone who's that close to you, someone who loves you 70 times more than your mother. Try to quantify the love of your mother. Right? Like for example, when we are young, we say to our mother, I love you this much. Right? And maybe we will say, and then the dad would say, okay, how much do you love me? And then the child is in a little bit of a awkward position. So he's already said this, so he's approximately trying to make something like this. If he went this, so you love your mother more than you love me? The child knows that you can't really quantify that love, but they're asking me to quantify it, and I don't really have any expression to do that, so I will use my body to let them know how much I love them. But it is all like as a symbol. In reality, you cannot quantify something that doesn't really have a limit. Tell me the limit of the love of a mother. You can't limit. No matter what you do, no matter how you are, no matter how many times you've broken her heart, anytime you say, I'm sorry, she embraces you. Embraces you in a way as if you've done nothing wrong. From her existence, she provides for you. From her blood, she sustains you. And every single want that you have, need that you have, she goes out of her way to give that to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares the love of a mother with His love. Because you have that, you know that, you felt that love. You have a reference point. You can say that if my mother loves me this much and my Creator is saying that I love you 70 times more than that. And you can feel that love on daily basis from your mother. And you see how she takes care of you, and you can say, if my mother can take care of me that way, she can forgive me after I've done all of this wrong and embrace me as if I've done nothing wrong, and she can hide my faults from others, and when I'm ill she will stay with me all night to make sure that I'm okay and take care of every need and want, that my Creator can do this to me 70 times better and more than my mother. And that's only just like a child would say, I love you this much. That 70 times is only for us to get an idea. Right? So Creator who loves you that much, who's that close to you, closer than your jugular vein, who has complete attention on you 24/7, not even for a millisecond, he's unaware of you, who loves you more than your mother 70 times, still we're asked, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ. For every single worship that you're going to do, when you're going to come to the azaf Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, you need to have that intention that you want to gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this always comes in our mind, that what is this nearness that we're talking about? So if you can go back when some of the brothers were not here, we said that when you look at the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or 1,000 in Dua Joshani Kabir, when you look at those qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see that some of them happen to be inside of you. Then when you say he is Jawad, right? He's generous, and you see yourself to be generous too. That he's Ghafoor or he's Ghafar, you see that other people has asked for an apology from you and you have forgiven. With me? Yes. So this quality exists in you. And the more you are going to forgive someone, the more you're going to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get the idea? And namaz and all the worship is supposed to create that environment in which you're able to elevate yourself in those qualities to the best of your ability with no limit. That namaz facilitates that environment in which a person becomes the best of the forgivers. That the person can become the best of the people who are generous. The person who can acquire the best amount of knowledge. The person who can acquire the best amount of power. Your fasting, your salah, your hajj, your khums, your amr bil ma'ruf anil munkar, all of that worship facilitates the environment in which the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can germinate, can elevate, can grow. Without that, a person cannot mimic those qualities. You know that animals are generous too? You know how these people say, oh, you don't have to believe in any religion, this is all dogmatic. It's just a label. All of these religions are just dogmas. And you just have to be a good person. Just have those good qualities, be generous, be kind, be merciful, be forgiving, and that's all that is important, and just live your life that way. You don't have to believe in a Creator, you don't have to believe in a God, you do not have to follow any sort of religion, rituals or practices, that's all. You just have to be a nice person. It seems quite attractive to some of our youths as well. Now, you know what they're saying is kind of okay. You know that animals are generous too? You know that they're kind to each other? You know they help each other against the enemy? You know that a mother, a hen, will sacrifice herself but protect the chicks? Would fight with a snake to protect the babies? There is a tree in Africa. Giraffe, you've seen giraffe, right? Yeah? So giraffe eats the tree, the leaves. And that tree produces a chemical that goes through the air gets transferred to the other tree. The other tree, when it gets that chemical, turns the leaves of its tree into a bitter taste. With me? This tree has an enemy, wants to protect the next tree, and warns the next tree that the enemy is about to come. If you want to save yourself, turn your leaves in a taste that is not liked by the enemy, and saves the life of that tree. Communication, warning, defense, sacrifice, alarming the other, saving their species. Combined unity against the enemy. Learn from it. There are fish in the Amazon where the dad would keep the fries, the little fish, in its mouth for about 6 months. The house of those fries are in the mouth of that fish. And dad, not mother. Not the mother, the dad. That fish does not eat for 6 months. The fries are inside of the mouth of the fish. They only come out for a little while. They come outside, they take a bit of food, this and that, and they go back in. And there's thousands of them. For 6 months, the fish, the father sacrifices and does not eat and raises those thousands of fries until they are grown up enough to face the world. And then after 6 months, opens the fast. You tell me a father on this earth. Human beings, fathers? So forget about the rest, just talk about us. If the mother, the poor mother, gives you to babysit the children for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, while she can do something else or pray namaz, you get agitated. Main mila tha. Ko khud hi sambhalo, main subah se lekar shaam tak jab maine kaam kiya, ab aaya hu to bachchon ko mujhe pakda diya. Pehle kyun nahi namaz padh li thi? Aur khana kidhar hai? I don't have to translate that into English. This was for the parents. So if you were to compare as fathers, which one is better? That fish who fasts for 6 months takes care of those thousands of babies, while this so-called human being as a father cannot take care of his own for 5 to 10 minutes and calls himself that I'm better than that animal. One time, the daughter of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah came to him and she said that, you know, the kids have been very naughty and it's becoming really difficult for me to raise them. And, you know, she was just saying this to Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah, trying to, you know, bit venting it out as well and mentioning to him that it is a bit difficult. Today was a, you know, like a tough day. And just listen to this carefully. He said to her that anytime you want, you can take the reward of my worship and I will take the reward that you're getting from raising those children. With me? Anytime you want this transaction to happen, that I will take the reward of you raising those children, I'll take it, and in exchange I'll give you the reward of all of my worship. All of my worship, if it was somebody else saying who sometimes pays namaz or doesn't, we're talking about someone who would not leave any mustahab act. Forget about the wajib. Even in his mubah, he had those conditions that people don't even have in their own wajib. And he's saying that I'm willing to trade that sawab, for the sawab of raising the children. Animals are generous. Animals are kind to each other. Animals defend their territory. Animals communicate with each other. The trees communicate with each other. They are united for survival. There are 250 trillion. I don't know if I told you ever this, but you can ask your Google to authenticate what I'm telling you. There are 250 trillion ants on this earth. How many? 250 trillion. Quadrillion. 8,000 species. How many? 8,000 species. 250 trillion ants. Have you ever seen any ants fighting? Yeah. You have, right? There are soldier ants and defend their territory. But have you ever seen them fight over Ajana wo ye niyaz maine nahi khani? Ye jo niyaz hai na, humne chahiye the samosa aur tum le aaye masan gulab jamun. The social science people that study social sciences, they say, it is their dream if humanity was to able to live with the social structure that ants do, there will be no wars on this earth. That this earth will be filled with peace if the people were to able to live like the ants. And if they were to build the cities the way the ants, they build theirs, you would have the most sophisticated, highly technological, advanced cities with all of the amenities for every single individual. To live like an ant, that you crush without even thinking. You know, the ant can lift 10 times or 50 times its weight. With me? How much weight can you lift? If a person is able to lift the same amount of weight that they are, they're like, oh, I bench pressed 73 kilos today. An ant can bench press 10 times its weight. Let's take it on the lower scale. If you were that strong and you happen to be, let's say, 74 kgs multiplied by 10, that's 740 kgs you could bench press. That ant that you think is weak. What are we? We can't live like ants even. We can't have a structure like ants even. We are not as strong as the ants, but we think we are the masters of this universe. Ana rabbakumul a'la. I am your greatest of lords. So, if you were to acquire the qualities, because instinctively every animal has a certain quality that you can find and you can categorize in generosity, in sacrifice, in communication, and so forth and so forth. يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ means all of creation. There's no sky and earth, by the way. With me? You knew that, right? There's no such thing as a sky. Don't look at me like that. If you were to go outside, if there were no clouds and you were to see the stars, where are you looking at?
No, you're looking in space. Yes or no? I mean, maybe it's understandable you don't know because your sky is never clear. But if you were to have a clear sky, no clouds at night, and you see the stars, you're looking into space. And this is not such that if you were to go high up that there is a wall there and then you're going to go through that wall. No, it's just you are in space. All there is in the atmosphere, you have the certain particles and gases that produce that effect that there is a sky. Otherwise, you're actually in space. And because you're here and because of this reference point, that seems to be up and this seems to be down. But depending on your reference point, when you are on the moon, where is the earth? All right. So this samawati wal ard, what it means is that if there was to be a limit of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a reference point of up and then with the same reference point of down, if you were to take the whole of the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wal ard, that everything is in doing glorification, is in praise, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you glorify someone you do not know? And you say, oh, Maulana, you are the greatest person, or maybe I won't say this. So you say to the other person, oh, you are the greatest person on the face of this earth. And you know, the knowledge that you have is amazing, and I praise you and I glorify you, and you are all of that. And then you say to him, excuse me, do you know me? Yeah, I don't know you. Then why are you praising me? Why are you glorifying me? How can you say that I'm the greatest person, almighty and so forth? Meaning what? That the creation has choice. There are many different conditions of glorification. We won't go through all of them, but just go very quickly. And you think about them. All of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has choice, has knowledge, has enough understanding to be able to praise the Creator. And their praise in Quran, there are many different verses, and we're just summarizing that you do not understand their praise. That the birds that fly in the air, they know their namaz. When you came over here, the fish in the ocean started asking for forgiveness for you. When a person goes towards knowledge, the fish in the ocean, they start asking for forgiveness and praying for you. We don't know the person next to us. How do these fish know that you, an individual, start at your home at 7 o'clock, got to the majlis, you're going to go seek knowledge? The whole universe is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with me. And here you come, this one guy who has these earphones in his ears and he's listening to 50 Cent. He's listening to a rapper. He's listening to some Jay-Z. He's swearing. Is committing sins of his Creator. How do you think the universe feels about that person? We're having the azaw from Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If somebody was to come inside and blast music, how would you feel about him? Right? Listening to someone, if you were to take from the lyrics, just to take the music and that tone out, just listen to what he's saying. He's like, I'm going to kill my mother, I'm going to do this to my wife, I'm going to shoot this person. I have all of these guns and I'm going to go rob the bank. You take that music out and listen to the lyrics, you will say this person is a criminal or is mentally something off. and the youths are listening to him. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you are, if you already listen, sometimes just stop the music and just read what he's, just read what he's saying. The universe is glorifying, and what are we doing? Is that our understanding of our Lord? Is that the Tawheed that we've understood? Right. Yesterday, since we have about 10 minutes left, I'll connect what I wanted to do today. If you can read aloud salawat for yourselves. You can recite a louder one. From yesterday, just very shortly, we said that whatever your eyes can see is not the world that has been put down by Aima or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by the Holy Prophet. Whatever your eyes can see are actually signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this world has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is another world that we create by our own choice that is inside. And that is the dunya, daniya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Imam Masumin alayhi salam have made or have criticized it. Or Imam Ali has said that it is in the shape of an old woman with leprosy holding the intestines of a pig. Alright, so this was yesterday. So whatever you're going to see with your eyes is actually, what? Signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the trees, the mountains, whatever your eyes can see are actually signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This world that has been condemned, that a person can become a worldly person or a religious person, is not based on what you see outside of your eyes, but it is based on the world that the person has created inside. You have many people who pray namaz, but the world that they have made inside, they are only praying namaz to show other people that they are namazi. So in reality, that namaz is not really a religious act, it's actually a sin, and that person is committing polytheism. Because of the world that this person created inside, out of the, all the complexes, inferiority and all of that, he's created this, and the namaz is being projected outside, that your eyes can see that the person is bowing down and up and down and this and that. Oh wow, Agha Sahab ki namaz dekho. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. It is your intentions that you have inside that are the foundations of the actions. There might be a person who has $1 million in their bank account but is not attached with that $1 million inside. And there might be a person who only has £1 in his pocket and is attached to that £1. Who's a worldly person and who's a religious person? See? Who is a worldly person and who's a religious person? Exactly, the one who's attached to that £1. The reason why we started this conversation is that we always have this kind of conflict, religion and the hereafter and the world, religious and the worldly people. The worldly people are those people who have created the world inside based on greed, based on arrogance, based on jealousy, based on ignorance, based on hurting others, based on backbiting, based on tale-telling. We have built the world inside this way. Now whatever they're going to do outside is actually going to be a reflection of that world. You see? So if there's a person who's built his world inside in a way that when that person goes for work, it can be worship or it can be a sin. You know how we say that having, earning the sustenance with the right means is worship. True, but if the person is earning the, from the right means but wants to utilize that money to build a massive house and not pay the homes that he has to pay, and just acquired this wealth for the lowly desires of arrogance and status complex and inferiority complex, do you think that going out and getting the sustenance is worship? Although it is by the right means. So don't think that, you know, if you became a religious person, what we're asking you to do is just to sit down at home and have a tasbih in your hands and don't go to university or don't go to your college or don't go and become lawyers and doctors and don't go in the world and acquire the wealth. With me? I have to defend myself over and over again with you guys because I don't know, whatever, no matter what I say, you always get this impression that I want you to go 1400 years backwards. What I'm trying to say is the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of generosity is above time and space. 1400 years ago, generosity was the same and so it is today. Courage 1400 years ago was the same and so it is today. We're not asking you to go back. These things don't get old. Generosity never goes out of fashion. You don't have to become modern Muslims. You don't have to become, I am a modern Muslim. Okay, so you have a modern Allah, you have a modern Quran, you have a modern Prophet, you have a modern Imam. Is that what you're saying? Because of the confusion of what the world is and what religion is and what hereafter in it, and what is actually Tawheed, people are confused now. You can have, by your definition, the most religious person, but if inside of their heart, what the world they've created is based on arrogance, on jealousy and greed, that person is performing religious actions, but is not a religious person. On the opposite, you have Aga Khayat, Aitar, you have Aga Khayat was a tailor. A tailor. And when you look at his life and his history and his actions and how he was among his people, he is known as an arif, someone who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who understands the realities the way they are. It's just an excuse for you and I to say, you know, I cannot be religious. That I have to choose religion or world. So this is another shape of Tawheed, which I will tell you, and next day we'll continue from there. So whatever your eyes can see is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those are the signs. And whatever your eyes cannot see is the world that you and I create on a daily basis. With me so far? Okay. This is your task. This is the purpose. That the creator outside is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside it is you. But what world you've created inside, give the authority of that world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You didn't get it? No? You didn't get it? Okay, I'll try again. We'll give you another example, okay? So outside there's a government and the government is supposed to be in the hands of a person who is a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala representative. Is that clear? That's our whole argument, right? We say that after the Holy Prophet, the government should have gone to that person who was a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was also a representative. Where the Prophet said, Man kuntu mawla fa haza aliyun mawla, that whomever am I the master of, then this Ali is also the master of him. Meaning that there is only authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should be implemented on this earth, and to implement that authority, that person has to be the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this person cannot be through voting or through other people deciding that you are going to lead us. That is not the way that it goes, because the authority is of Allah and it is Allah's choice who is going to appoint to implement that authority over you. This is your mazhab, this is my mazhab. So if there is a world inside of you and there is a government, who should rule it? Who should rule over your desires? Jay? Allah. Who should rule over your intellect? Allah. Who should rule over your emotions? Allah. Who should rule over your wants? Allah. Who should rule over your decisions? Allah. If you can do that, then you've established tawheed inside of you. You've established tawheed in that world that does not exist outside but inside. You've given the authority of that world to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the shape of tawheed that Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam had inside of him. He was called Aba Abdullah, the father of the slavery to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein's intellect was ruled by Allah. Imam Hussein's love was ruled by Allah. Imam Hussein's decisions were ruled by Allah. Imam Hussein's every single thing that he had inside was ruled by Allah. He has the body of Hazrat Ali Asghar in his hands. While the neck is cut and blood is gushing out, he looks up the sky and he says, "Oh Allah, even this is easy for me because I know you're watching me." And that tawheed did not exist. If it existed in a few, and those few were actually the 72. There were people in Makkah going around the Khana Kaaba, but that tawheed did not exist there. The world that they had created inside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not ruling over that world. It was their lowly desires that was the God. In the people of Kufa, it was the lowly desires that were their God. So therefore the mothers took the sons, the sisters took the brothers, and the wives took the husbands, and they left as a Muslim Ibn Aqil. But inside of the Muslim Ibn Aqil, it was the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that ruled over him. And he stood his ground. It was Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir who had the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implemented inside, who decided to even get out of that city and come and help Imam Hussain Satus. If you and I do the azah of Imam Hussain Satus, but inside of this world, the God is our lowly desires, arrogance, jealousy, and so forth. Azad that we do outside is not going to have the effect. This matam was there to break the God inside that you have in your heart of arrogance and jealousy. That every hand that goes up and goes on your chest is a slap on that God of arrogance. That every hand that goes up and goes back on your chest is a sign of the courage that you're supposed to develop inside to fight the gods outside. Every tear that comes out is supposed to bring a revolution inside. It's supposed to bring inqilab inside of that world. Every marsiya that you recite is supposed to change that world inside. Because Imam Hussein has the power to change that world. Imam Hussein has the power to change that world and to make you and I as a whole. It is through the masaib of Imam Hussein. It is through the azah of Imam Hussein. It is through the matam of Imam Hussein. It's through the majlis of Imam Hussein. But if you come into this majlis and your world inside does not change, Imam Hussein sacrificed Shimmer apparently said that he's a Muslim. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Ibn Ziyad and all them. They didn't say they were Christians or Jews. But inside of their hearts, inside the world was built on greed. Greed was the god of Shimr. He submitted outside to show that he's submitting to Allah, but inside the true God that he had was greed. There was arrogance. And he submitted to that God of greed, and he took a knife, a dull knife. That God of greed told him to cut the neck of a person who represents the true oneness of Allah. The God of greed told Shimr to slap a face of a little girl. If you see little sisters running around, they are in the age of 3 to 6, try to look at their faces. They're like flowers, little flowers. And the grown man should look at their hands and then look at their face. Is that little face, is that little flower worth a slap on the hand of a grown man? While this little girl has been made an orphan. Ibn Sina says that I got hit so hard that I fell on the ground and I lost consciousness. And when I came about, I saw Bibi Zainab trying to wake me up. And I wanted to complain to her. But when I saw that there was no rida, there was no chadur, there was no hijab on the head of Bibi Zainab, I forgot my pain. The god of greed told them to burn the tents of the... Hey, you cannot imagine. It's just, we see it and you cannot imagine. Little kids who have seen the atrocity, where the bodies have come without a neck, where the bodies have come mutilated, where what they have been hearing all day is just cries. Where what they have seen Imam Hussein is filled with dirt and blood. Where they had an uncle who they asked for water, never came back. The day that they had has become night, is getting to be night, and the horses are coming. And in panic, some of the horses trample the children and they hide into the tents, and then they are there to burn the tents. While the smoke comes and they have to move from one tent to the other. You can only imagine when you see your children scared, they still have you. When you see your children crying, they still have you. Try to imagine the faces of those little children who had become orphans and they had no money. All they had were the daughters of the prophets who were panicking. They had no hijab on their heads and they were going from one burning tent to the other. This atrocity was committed to save the religion that you and I hold dear. Why do we want to mix this pure religion of Tawheed with shirk, with our own ideas, with our own way of thinking, with our own lowly desires, with that dirt of that world we created inside? Why? The sacrifice requires you and me to submit our head to that one God and no one else. And if you cannot do that, you still haven't tasted what Azaf Imam Hussein is. And God has given us another year, another opportunity to shed those tears and to mourn Imam Hussein so we can realize the importance of what he saved. With the grace and wisdom and mercy that you have, O Allah, make our youths submissive to your will, for them to stand against their lowly desires, for them to become the shape and form in which they become the friends and soldiers of our Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our mothers the opportunity to raise those kids in a way that they become the slaves and the followers of our Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the wisdom to our elders for them to utilize their experience to raise their children, to raise the youth of the community with the same passion that they had when they were young, to avoid of the mistakes that they made when they were young. Allah give the wisdom to our scholars to guide us in the right path. Make the coming of our Imam as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal-Asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Allah.